I want to start with a question. Who do you want to be seen by? Who do you want to be seen by? It's great to be seen, isn't it? I just think to be noticed. I mean, kids even love it. Jonah at the moment, he's learned how to ride. He's three. It's amazing. He's learned how to ride. He had a balance bike, and now he can, actually Joseph passed down a bike with pedals, and now he's kind of learned to ride that. But if you come around to our house, like community did on Wednesday night, and some of them got early, and so Joseph had to say, come on, watch me. And in fact, he so likes to know that he's being seen that he will turn around and say, what kind of like are you watching? And I have to say, keep saying, no, look ahead, look ahead. Now, even kids, we love to be noticed, don't we? And you know, we're all like that. We all like to be noticed. And actually, we all need affirmation. We all like affirmation. And affirmation is good. You know, one of the things in our society is that we kind of are really obsessed with people noticing us and seeing us. So, you know, Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, we're kind of are very obsessed actually with kind of our image. How is this going to come across to others and what are they going to think of us? And if you got any doubt about how big this is, then, you know, just look at how many people are using this and how much of a time and energy and effort we spend trying to think about what people will notice about us and whether we can get their attention and whether they'll approve. And this isn't a new phenomenon. You know, these might be new things, but the phenomenon's not new. In Jesus' day, they didn't have Facebook, but they did still want to be seen often. And so people sometimes would stand on street corners. You know the great thing about street corners is you can be seen down that street and that street. Two streets. It's not quite the same as a million followers or whatever, but it's still. And in Jesus' time as well, this phenomenon is like it's something in our hearts. The desire to be seen, to be approved. And I wonder whose approval matters most to you. So your friends, your spouses, your children, your parents, your bosses, your colleagues, your neighbors, your pastors. Whose approval? You know, Jesus knows we like to be seen, and he's saying in this passage, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be seen. The question is who? Who do we want to be seen by? Who do we want to be seen by? Because there's something better than being seen by men. Something way better. And that is to be seen by God. To be seen and known by God. You know, most of the stress in our lives comes from trying to win the approval of others. I don't know about you, but I think that's probably where most of the stress in our lives comes. We just want the people around us and all that to kind of work. And what I've realized, maybe you can experience this too, you can't please everyone. Did you know that? It's just not possible to please everyone. But here's the thing, you can please God. And Jesus, in this radical message that he brought, and if you think, you know, Jeremy Corbyn's stuff is like, you know, radical. I tell you what, Jesus is amazingly radical in his vision. But you see, the thing about Jesus is it's not in any way risky because it's eternally secure. And so Jesus goes through life saying the most radical stuff. In fact, humanly speaking, the most risky stuff, and yet it's eternally secure. And what Jesus demonstrates in his life, you don't see him go walking around kind of stressed because he's just conscious of the approval of one, of God. He's living for that approval. And so here's the thing. What Jesus majors on in his teaching on prayer is this. He wants to teach us who we're praying to, who we're talking to in prayer. If we can get that right, other stuff is going to flow from it. It's like Jesus teaches us to pray by teaching us that we'll learn how to pray by learning who we're praying to, by learning about our Father. You see, this is one of the big things in the teaching of Jesus, that God is not some kind of out there sort of thing that, you know, is not really interested in us. He's our Father. He cares about you and I. And one of the first things he says in this passage about prayer is that we need to recognize that God our Father, look with me down in verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Can't see God. But your unseen Father, verse 6, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The Father sees. He sees everything. He wonderfully sees everything. And so this thing about don't be like the hypocrites is don't be those who kind of try to put on a mask. Hypocrites were actually the award is for actors. You know, they were those who put on a mask. Guys, let's not put on masks. Should we not do that? It's a bit of a waste of time and energy and effort, to be honest. God sees everything. He sees it all. And this heart that we have of wanting to be seen by others, particularly in like that kind of danger, it's Jesus is not saying here in Matthew chapter 6, after kind of stress the importance in Matthew chapter 5 of us living lives that are out there and that shine for him. He's not kind of saying that necessarily it's wrong to try and shine for Jesus. That's a great thing to do. But here's what one writer, Dallas Willard, says. He says, it's not are we seen doing a good deed, but are we doing a good deed to be seen? Do you notice the difference? It's not are we seen doing a good deed, but are we doing a good deed to be seen? You know what I've noticed in my life, this might be true in yours as well, that I have a tendency to show we tend to show when tempted to hide and hide when tempted to show. You know, so we kind of get it the wrong way around. Let me say it like this. The stuff in my life that I kind of don't want anyone to know, I tend to try and hide that. And I tend to show, this is the world of Facebook, isn't it? Show the stuff that I think everyone's going to be impressed by. So I have to work really hard to think, no, David, that's the wrong way around. I need to be willing to show my weaknesses, my failings, to particularly those nearest to me. So that then there will be a hidden part of my life, which actually is the good stuff. The kind of fuel, the stuff that actually means that there's a secret life in God that can fuel the rest of my life. And Jesus' antidote to this kind of performer instinct, this instinct to put on masks, his antidote to that is very simple. It's the hidden place. It's secrecy. You know, secrecy is something that Jesus encourages in our giving. You know, do some beautiful secret giving this week. He encourages it in prayer. He encourages it in fasting. I tell you what, one of the things I've loved it about you, Owen, is your secret kind of serving. Sometimes you just notice that and it just thrills my heart because she's not necessarily looking for me to notice it. So many others do that as well. This secrecy thing can be a very, very special thing. So here's what I want to encourage you. The Father sees, folks, so pray in secret. Pray secretly. Get time alone with God, just you and him. You know, the hiding places can be really fun. Something great about hiding. There was this story once of a child who rung, who had a telemarketer call her home one day, and a small voice whispered, hello. And the telemarketer said, hello, what's your name? And still whispering, the voice said, Jimmy. How old are you, Jimmy? I'm 4. Good, is your mother home? Yes, she's busy. Okay, is your father home? He's busy too. I see. Who else is there? Said the telemarketer. The police. The police? Well, may I speak to one of them? They're busy. Jimmy, all these people in your house and I can't speak to any of them, what are they doing? Looking for me, whispered Jimmy. My uncle was a minister. He once asked the congregation in a family service, he said, why do people hide? And, you know, we think often as adults, don't we? You know, we hide because we're afraid of someone discovering something. And you know what one of the kids said in the service? He said, oh, we hide because we want to be found. That's so profound. There's a kind of secrecy and hiddenness of wanting to kind of meet with someone. You know, actually so often we associate hiddenness and secrecy with kind of stealing or affairs or, you know, secret addictions to stuff. And you know what? That's a rubbish place for secret. That's the stuff that's really good to find someone and share that with and bring it out into the light so that it doesn't kind of end up becoming something that, ruins and damages your life. But you know, it's really good in marriage to have secrets. Stuff that's just between you and your wife. It's really fun. It's really good to have a kind of hidden place. It's really great in your relationship with God to have stuff that's just between you and him. No one else knows. You're doing it for him. He's the only one who sees something beautiful for him. Take time. And you can do this anywhere. You can do it in your own private kind of times praying. But, you know, you can do this in work. I used to work at a place in Shoreham, near actually where the air crash happened. Been thinking a lot about Ricardo recently. And when I was there, You just sometimes feel overwhelmed at work or different pressures come in and you just get a difficult email, not know quite how to sort of fix a problem. It was an engineering firm. You know, sometimes I used to think, I just need God's presence here. But you don't want to kind of bow your head and kind of at your desk. So I used to type emails to God. I didn't put anything in the address line. I just used to put kind of in the sort of in the subject line. I just put God, and I used to type, and I just ask Him for His help. And it was just a secret thing between me. I had a whole save lot of prayers. And I used to sometimes just take a walk at lunchtime. Those walks meant a world to me. I walked along the river, just me and God. You know, it's like at work. Sometimes you just got so much to do that you think I'll just eat at my desk. And I used to sometimes say, "No, I'm just going to go walk with God." He's got time. And in our days, you know, so much in this kind of secret praying stuff is, and it's actually very practical. I wanted to get really practical with you. It's about stuff like, you know, get a place. Jesus says, go into your room and close your room. It's not the room. It's not like, I sometimes say to people, this isn't the only place you can pray in church. God hears us anywhere. Go into your room. Your room. Your, in fact, it could be your garden. In fact, it could be your car. In fact, it could be Starbucks. I sometimes go down and just say, right, Lord. And I sometimes say, I'll have a coffee and a water. And then I sit down. I put one opposite on the other side of the table. One. Now you're all going to think I'm a bit strange. But and I kind of almost sometimes say, okay, Lord, which one do you want? Because I'm trying to tell myself I'm having a coffee with the Lord that day. You know, you can do it in Starbucks. Just secret time, you and God. Wherever, find a place. You know, when you've got small kids around, and it's particularly true for mums, it's just, it's hard. Hard to find that space. So one very famous lady who used to have, I think she had seven children, Susanna Wesley. Did she have seven children? Was that about right? She had lots of children. And she was a mother of Charles Wesley and John Wesley, amazing people, used to God. She used to go in the kitchen and sometimes she used to put an apron over her head and then just pray for her kids. You know, you can find a place. You know, what I tend to find is the stuff that's really important to you, you make time for it. So find a place and then make a plan. Get a plan. Remember Tim, you saying one time when you were sharing about stuff going on in the life of the church, something, you said, if you don't book it in, you book it out. Really stuck with me. If you don't book it in, you book it out. It's true in your secret times with God. If you don't book them in, you book them out. They just get squeezed out. So, come on, church. If we can't do any of the stuff we do without God's help, for that's what the scripture says, then let's make sure we get time to kind of get into that secret place. Get alone with God. It's one of the things I learned so much from my parents in. Sometimes discover them in the morning when I got up and they'd be at prayer. Sometimes discover them when I went down to... down to my parents' room, I'd find my dad kneeling by his bed. Middle of the day. Secret times. Secret times with God in prayer. Have you got a hidden place? Have you got a secret part of your life with God that fuels it? There's this wonderful sense here in this word here. When you go into your room, it's the same word. The word room there is really a kind of, it's like a treasure store. It's the kind of same word that's used for that. It's a particular type of word used for room that kind of anticipates there's going to be good stuff there. And there is, when you get alone with God, it's amazing. The blessings that come out of that, the joy that comes out of that, the sense of liberation that comes from that. Encourage you, get alone with God in that storeroom. And it's the blessings of not just the answered prayer, and yes, there are times when He answers wonderfully, but it's just being with our Father, hearing what He's got to say about it. One thing I loved in that little booklet we've been using, and you can keep using that, by the way, just as at the end, be still and listen. That's really helped me. Just listen to what God wants to say to us and keep speaking to us. You know, our Father sees. He sees when you just try. Sometimes I don't even know what to say. I just say, God, I just want to go for a walk with you. I sometimes just walk around this little area out here. Does me good. Just get alone with God and keep letting those things fuel your life. One of the things my dad said to me this week as I was talking about this passage that he said he found so helpful was realizing that in prayer, we're not trying to inform ignorance or impress indifference. So often with others, aren't we? We're trying to tell them everything because they don't know about our lives. So we got to go, blah, 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 you know? And so often we've got to try and impress them and catch their attention, because if we don't catch their attention, they're going to be off doing different things. It's got to be impressive. Do you know what? God is not like that. The pagans, the people who kind of make up gods, they think God's like people. So they do this. They kind of do a lot of prayer and repeat things over and over and over again like it's a magic formula. Or, you know, they try and impress God with the way they pray. You know, you just don't need to do that. In fact, the next bit, Jesus says in verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows. He knows. He knows what you need before you ask him. You see, he not just is a father who sees, he's a father who knows. He knows. He knows. He knows your name. He knows your day tomorrow, what it's like. He knows what your week was like. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows your failures. He knows your successes. And he knows you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. And he knows what you need before you ask him. So this wonderful thing about the Father knows means you can just get alone with God. And sometimes I find God is kind of wanting to hear me say, do you know how when Jesus was risen from the dead, Jesus died and he rose again. Amazing truths of the scripture. And he appeared in the garden just after he'd risen again to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was looking for Jesus' body, and Mary comes up and Mary starts crying because the body's gone, and Jesus comes up to her and says, Mary, why are you crying? I thought, why would he ask that? Why would he ask Mary why she's crying? He knows everything. He's Jesus. Do you think there's something that Jesus wanted to hear her voice? Wanted to hear what she would say, so that she would know that he knew. Because that's how relationships work, isn't it? That, you know, you kind of want to know the other person knows that you know that whole thing. And so we pray, not because we need to inform God about our lives, but because it does us good to know that he knows about our lives. And to pour out our hearts. And you can do that really simply. It doesn't have to be long. One of the things this week, sometimes I've really given time over to prayer, and that's really great to do sometimes, to give aside a day a month or a time once a year or a set time like we've had a prayer week. Just give over time to prayer. But you know what as well? Sometimes it can just be really short. A really short just thing. You know, there's this amazing bit in the Old Testament when the prophets of Baal, this is kind of a pagan kingdom around, were really kind of causing grief to God's people. And they have this kind of showdown with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. And the prophets of Baal pray all day, and they're chanting, and they're kind of doing their whole kind of prayer ritual, and they're crying out really, 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 really loudly. And then Elijah kind of mocks them and says, hey, maybe your God's asleep, or maybe he's on the toilet. You better wake him up, you know, and get his attention. It's that whole thing of kind of needing to impress. And they try, and nothing happens. God, their God. Because there is no other God but God. Their God doesn't do anything. But Elijah prays. And you know, Elijah's prayer on Mount Carmel, when he prays, it's here up on the screen. That time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and he prayed. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. What do you reckon? Maybe 20 seconds to read that? Maybe 30. And then God shows up. Pray simply. Pray simply. So many times in Scripture we see simple prayers. You know, Nehemiah at work, he's in a crisis, there's an opportunity, and it says, the king asked him a question, Nehemiah was serving the king, and he says, then I prayed to God in heaven, and I answered the king. It must have been a very short prayer, probably help. Those are great ones. Help, God. Then he answered the king. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, probably one of the most amazing prayer times the world has ever known. He's there, and what's he doing? Jesus says he's preparing to take your sin and my sin on his shoulders as he's going to the cross where he knows he's going to be dying for the sin of the world. He says, Abba, Father. Again, he knows the Father. He says, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, this cup of the cross where he dies for our sins. Yet not what I will, but what you will. surrenderness to God. And in fact, just so you know, that this thing in Matthew 7 isn't, in Matthew 6 is not a kind of, you can't ever pray the same thing twice, because actually Jesus goes back and he prays the same thing again. He just says simply, Lord, not what I. So here's the thing, guys. The Father sees, pray secretly. The Father knows. So pray simply. Let our prayers be simple. This week, next week, get alone with God. Just pour out your heart to him. Pray simply from your heart to him. One of my longings here in this church is that no one ever kind of comes to Holland Road and doesn't learn how to pray. Please, I want to help you grow in prayer. There are others here who love to help you learn how to pray. And even today, I just want to teach you just the very simple things you can pray. It's what Jesus does here in these next few verses. I'm not going to go through it all. I'm just going to use it as a template, even now as we end, for us to pray. And this prayer, you might have heard of it. It's sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. It's what he taught his disciples. Then in verse 9, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And sometimes we kind of get so familiar with those words that we can say them a bit like the pagan thing, like it's kind of a magic formula. So I just took a moment this week and I just kind of rewrote this very simply in my own kind of way. And I want to encourage you maybe to use this today as a template just for prayer in this moment. Our Father in heaven, you're very great. May your kingdom come and your will be done in my life and in this world. I need your help and your forgiveness. Help me forgive others and keep me from temptation and evil. In Jesus' name. And I put in Jesus' name because it's because of what Jesus has done on the cross and through his resurrection that we can come to the Father and call him Father. We come to God through what Jesus has done for us. And then amen just means so be it, yes. So I wonder if we could just have a moment of stillness. And I'm going to invite the band to just come back up. And just with this up there in front of you, I wonder if you could just in your own heart echo it. You know what you're facing at the moment. Pause and consider. Maybe you've never prayed anything like this before, but this could be a real turning point in your life if you pray this and mean it. And I've prayed something like this many times before, and it's often been a huge blessing. If you feel able, will you just say this with me? And let's turn the I's into we's, the me's into us. Our Father in heaven, you are very great. May your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives and in this world. We need your help and your forgiveness. Help us forgive others and keep us from temptation and evil. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And God hears. And I pray that you would this week get into a pattern, if you haven't got it already, of finding a secret place with God. Plan it, find it. For your sake. And then, Lord, I pray that all we do as a church would flow out of that secret hidden place with you. Thank you for your grace. It means we don't need to fear meeting with you, but can press into your presence. Your grace is enough for each of us, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.
As we continue to worship now, feel free to stand or to sit or to kneel. If you do need prayer for anything, the prayer team are going to be around in a minute. And if you do feel like you're hearing from God, as people often do, come and share with Sean or with Johnny at the front if you feel that's something for the church.